Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Tefillin Perek Aleph. In the 10 prakim of these halachot, the Rambam discusses the three objects we refer to by the acronym Stam: Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. The common denominator of these three is that they all have Kiddushah, which stems from the written text of the Torah. And much of this first perek deals with how exactly that written text must be produced in order to have Kiddushah, what to use as ink, on what surface it must be written, and halachot governing the act of writing as well as the written text itself. As we'll see later, the three objects do not have identical levels of Kedusha, and the hierarchy follows the order of the acronym Stam. The Sefer Torah has the greatest sanctity, then Tefillin, and finally Mezuzah. This leads to the question of why the Rambam chose a different order for these halachot, starting with Tefillin, the first four prakim, then Mezuzah, two prakim, and finally Sefer Torah, the last four prakim. The answer may lie in the organizing principle of this entire book of Ahava. This book is about mitzvot we perform as a way of showing our love of God and devotion to Him. Of the three topics in these halachot, tefillin is the strongest manifestation of this idea, as we wear it each day of Chol as a way to remember and signify our subservience to Hashem based on the miracle of Yitziat Mitzrayim. We'll see in Perek Daled that the mitzvah is fundamentally to wear them all day, even if the general custom nowadays is to wear them only for tefillah. After that comes mezuzah, which we encounter whenever we walk into a room or a building. And finally, Sefer Torah, which we generally only use for Kriyat HaTorah B'Tzibur, and in earlier times, occasionally to learn from. Thus, the Rambam organized the three mitzvot relating to Kitvei HaKodesh in descending order of how strongly each represents a manifestation of the underlying theme of Sefer Ahava. The Rambam counts five mitzvot in the koteret of these halachot, two relating to tefillin, one to mezuzah, and two to Sefer Torah. We'll discuss each one as we get to it. The mitzvot of tefillin will be addressed only in Perek Daled, as the first three prakim discuss how the tefillin are made, including in this perek, as we said, many details relating to the writing of Stam in all three settings. And only in the fourth perek does the Rambam get to what we do with them. As a technical matter, unlike in Hilchot Tefillah uBirkat Kohanim, where the vast majority of the prakim dealt with tefillah, and so we refer to every perek as Hilchot Tefillah, in these halachot, the prakim are more evenly divided between the three topics. So we will call the first four prakim Hilchot Tefillin, the following two Hilchot Mezuzah, and the last four Hilchot Sefer Torah. Halacha Aleph. Arba parshiot elu, shehein kadesh li, u vehaya ki eviacha, shebesefer elu shmot, u shma, u vehayaim shamoa, hein shnichtavot bifnei atzman, u mechapin otan beor, v'nikra'in tefillin, u manichin otan al harosh, v'koshrin otan al hayad, v'afilu kotso shel ot achat me'arba parshiot ma'akev et kulan min ha-Torah, ad shiu nichtavot shlemot ki tiknan. וכן שתי פרשיות שבמזוזה, שהן שמה והיה עם שמוע, אפילו אות אחת משתי הפרשיות עם חסר קוצו, עיקב מן התורה, עד שיהיו שתיהן נכתבות שלמות, וכן ספר תורה שחסר אפילו אות אחת, פסול. Tefillin consists of four parshiot from the Torah, which are written and then covered in leather. These are the four parshiot which mention the mitzvah of tefillin, namely the first two parshiot of Kriyat Shema, beginning Shema and Vayayim Shamoa, as well as the last two parshiot in the Parshat HaShavua of Bo, beginning Kadesh Li and Vahayakiv Yacha. The mezuzah contains the two parshiot of the Torah which mention the mitzvah of mezuzah, namely Shema and Vahayim Shamoa. The Sefer Torah, by definition, contains the entire text of the Torah Shebichtav. Any of these three items is considered pasul, invalid, if even one letter is missing, or for that matter, even a critical part of a letter, like a kotso shel yud. Poskim debate whether this refers to the bottom leg of the yud or the crown on top, and in practice we are careful to have both. Halacha Gimel. Asara dvarim yesh batfilin, kulan halachal Moshe misinai, v'chulam me'akvin. לפיכך, אם שינה באחד מהן, הרי התפילין פסולות, שניים מהן בכתיבתן, ושמונה בחיפויין וקשירת רצועותיהן. ואלו הן השניים שבכתיבתן, שכותבין אותן בדיו, ושיהיו נכתבות על הקלף. There are 10 critical features of tefillin, and if even one is missing, then the tefillin are psulim. All 10 are halakha l'Moshe Sinai, a purely oral tradition, as the written Torah doesn't say anything about what exactly tefillin are, aside from that they contain written texts. The first two of these 10 relate to how tefillin are written, and the last 8 to how they are covered in leather and tied together with straps. The two features relating to the writing are that tefillin must be written with ink, dio, and written on parchment, klaf. The remainder of this perek consists of defining these terms and explaining more details about writing, which apply equally or in modified form to mezuzah and sefer Torah as well. The next perek will go back to details of writing which are specific to tefillin, and only in perek gimel will we get to the last 8 features of tefillin relating to the leather coverings and the straps. Halachot Gimel through Tet discuss exactly how the dio and klaf are produced. Many of the details are technical and differ from how these are made in practice today. The Rambam gives a very detailed recipe with specific ingredients for producing dio, but any kind of ink is fine as long as it is black and not easily erased. As for the klaf, the Rambam explains that actually there are 3 kinds of animal parchments called gvil, klaf, and duchsustus. Ideally, one writes a Sefer Torah on gvil, tefillin on klaf, as we said already, and a mezuzah on duchsustus, but klaf is valid for writing all 3 items. Where does each of these parchments come from? The hide of an animal, after the hair is scraped off and it is cleaned and soaked for several days, is called gvil, and it can be split into 2 layers called klaf and duchsustus. Which layer is which is the subject of controversy. In our Girsa of the Rambam, he says that klaf is the inside layer, closer to the flesh of the animal, and duchsustus is the outer layer. But most other Rishonim say the opposite. The Kesef Mishnah even has the opposite Girsa in the Rambam, and he indeed rules in the Shulchan Aruch like this view, that klaf is the outer layer closer to where the hair of the animal was. Since klaf is acceptable for all 3, the near universal practice today is to indeed use klaf, that is the outer layer, as the Shulchan Aruch concludes, whenever writing a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, or a Mezuzah. Halacha Yud. Ein kotvin sfarim utfilin mezuzot al gabei or behemat tmeya v'chaya v'of hatmein. Aval kotvin al gabei or behemat v'chaya v'of hatahorim. V'afilu nevelot utrefot shelehen. V'ein kotvin al gabei or hadag hatahor mipnei hazuhama. She'ein zuhamato poseket ba'avada. The parchment for writing stam must come from a kosher animal, like a cow, though the animal does not need to be shechted properly. The skin of a fish may not be used because it contains impurities, which don't come out even after the soaking process for animal hides. Halacha Yud Aleph. Gvil shel Sefer Torah uklaf shel tefillin o shel Sefer Torah tzarich la'abed otan lishman v'im ibdan shelo lishman psulin. Lefichach im ibdan hagoy psulin. ואף על פי שאמרו לו לאבד אור זה לשם הספר או לשם התפילין, שהגוי על דעת עצמו הוא עושה, לא על דעת הסוחר אותו. לפיכך, כל דבר שצריך מעשה לשמו, אם עשהו הגוי, פסול, ומזוזה אינה צריכה עבדה לשמה. The term ibud refers to the process of soaking, stretching, and pressing animal hide until it becomes a flat, smooth sheet of parchment. Does the ibud of parchment used for stam need to be done lishma, that is, with specific intent to use it for writing stam? There is a Yerushalmi about mezuzah which says that this isn't required, but a Gemara in Gittin, speaking of a Sefer Torah, says that ibud lishma is necessary. Most Rishonim understand that these 2 sources contradict each other. Following the rule that the Bavli trumps the Yerushalmi when they argue, these poskim conclude that stam requires ibud lishma. But the Rambam here accepts both sources and distinguishes between types of stam. Sefer Torah and Tefillin require ibud lishma, but mezuzah does not. What is the rationale for this differentiation? The Rambam himself was asked this question by the Chachmei Lunil, a group of scholars from the city of Lunel in Provence, who corresponded with him about several difficult psakim in the Mishneh Torah. His answer, quoted here by the Kesef Mishnah, is that there is a fundamental difference between mezuzah and the other 2 types of stam. tefillin and a Sefer Torah are objects which are inherently necessary for an observant Jew. One needs tefillin to wear each day, and a Sefer Torah both to fulfill the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, more about that in Perek Zayin, and to use for Kriyat HaTorah B'tzibur. But the need for a mezuzah is not absolute and universal. Only a home meeting several conditions elaborated upon in Perek Vav needs a mezuzah. Someone who doesn't live in such a home never has need for a mezuzah. As such, claims the Rambam without any source in Chazal, the requirements for a mezuzah are not as strict and exacting as those pertaining to a Sefer Torah and Tefillin. And specifically, the mezuzah does not require ibud lishma. In Halacha Yudalid, the Rambam clarifies that any stam not meeting the requirements of these last two halachot, if it was written on parchment from a non-kosher animal, or has not undergone ibud at all, or in the case of Sefer Torah and Tefillin, has not undergone ibud lishma, then it is entirely pasul and cannot be used. Based on the requirement of ibud lishma in Sefer Torah and Tefillin, the Rambam concludes that ibud by a non-Jew disqualifies the parchment for these two items. The Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, though, accept the opinion of the Rosh, that a non-Jew is capable of lishma when a Jew stands next to the goy and instructs him to have in mind, while performing the ibud, that the parchment will be used for stam. But the Rambam, as Rav Chaim Soloveitchik explains in his Chidushim here, understands that the principle quoted here of goy al dat atzmo hu oseh, the non-Jew acts on his own intent, is not a practical statement which can be corrected by a Jewish supervisor, but rather a fundamental rule that the intent of a non-Jew simply isn't relevant for the requirement of lishma. Only the intent of a Jew is recognized by halacha as fulfilling the necessary condition of lishma. Halacha Yud Bet. Halacha l'Moshe miSinai she'ein kotvin sefer Torah v'lo mezuzah ela besirtut, aval tefillin einan tzrichin sirtut lefi she'ein mechupin. The Sefer Torah and the mezuzah require sirtut, that is, etching straight horizontal lines along the cloth with a knife or some other sharp implement, so that the writing will be straight and not at a slant. However, tefillin do not require sirtut, and the Rambam explains the reason is that they are mechupin, covered up. He likely means what the Ramban says in his Chidushim on Masechet Gittin, where the topic of sirtut comes up. A Sefer Torah is meant to be read, and therefore requires sirtut so that the lines of text will be straight and legible. The parshiot of tefillin are never read after they are placed in their boxes. The boxes are sewn up, and in principle, no one should ever see the parshiot again unless the tefillin need to be checked. So there is no need for the text of the parshiot of tefillin to be legible. The status of a mezuzah is complex. On the one hand, it is not practically meant to be read like a Sefer Torah. On the other hand, it isn't covered up as much as tefillin is, and we'll see later more indications that the mezuzah may be meant to be read at least in theory, if not in practice. So the Halacha L'Moshe miSinai quoted here, which distinguishes tefillin from mezuzah and Sefer Torah with regard to sirtut, may be rooted in the fundamental question of whether each of these three types of stam is meant to be read. Continuing in Halacha Yud Bet, Umutar lichtov tefillin u'mezuzot shlo min haktav, shakol gorsim parshiot elu, aval Sefer Torah asur lichtovo afilu ot achat shlo min haktav. Tefillin and mezuzot may be written from memory, because the parshiot written in them are read often enough to be known by heart by most people. While this is strictly permissible, Acharonim, including the Mishnah Berurah, conclude that it is best for the sofer to write even these with the text open in front of him, and to say each word aloud as he writes it in order to avoid mistakes. A Sefer Torah, however, is very different, and every single letter must be written from the text and not from memory. And here too, the Shulchan Aruch adds, each word should be said aloud before it is written. To summarize the last two halachot, there are three dinim which apply to only two of the three types of stam, and each type is exceptional vis-a-vis one of the dinim. Ibud lishma is necessary for Sefer Torah and tefillin, but not mezuzah. Sirtut is required for Sefer Torah and mezuzah, but not for tefillin. And writing shalom min achtav is permissible for tefillin and mezuzah, but not for Sefer Torah. Halacha Yud Gimel. Sefer Torah tefillin u'mezuzot sheketavan min yisarfu. Ketavan goy o Yisrael meshumad, o moser, o eved, o isha, o katan, hare ilu psulin v'yiganzu. Shnemar ukshartam ukhtavtam. Kol shemuzhar alakshira u'mamin ba hu shekotev.
נמצאו ביד מין ואין ידוע מי כתבן, יגנזו. נמצאו ביד גוי, כשרים. ואין לוקחים ספרים, תפילין ומזוזות מן הגויים, ביתר על דמיהן, שלא להרגיל אותם לגונבם ולגוזלם. Stam, written by a min, whom the Rambam defines as someone who denies the existence of God or his unity, must be burnt. We saw this halach already in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah Perek Vav. And the Rambam there explained that the text has no kedusha because the min doesn't believe in God and is burnt only so that no remnant exists of the min's handiwork. However, if we find Stam in the hands of a min and don't know who wrote it, it is not burnt, as he may not have written it, but it cannot be used and goes into Geniza. There is a general link between the mitzvah of putting on tefillin and being qualified to write tefillin, as well as the two other types of stam, based on the juxtaposition of the psukim in Shema, of ukshartam laot al yadecha, referring to tefillin, and ukhtavtam al mezuzot beitecha, which speaks of writing stam. Therefore, stam written by anyone not subject to the mitzvah of tefillin, like a non-Jew or an apostate Jew, a woman and a child under bar mitzvah, is pasul and must go into Geniza. However, stam found in the hands of a non-Jew is assumed to have been written by a Jew, and therefore is kosher. If the non-Jew wants to sell them to us, we may only buy them at market price and no higher, in order not to encourage goyim to steal forms of stam and make a profit selling them back to Jews. We'll see much later in the Mishnah Torah a similar and well-known principle related to redeeming captives. Halacha Tetvav. Hakotev Sefer Torah Tfilin Mezuzah, Uvishat Ketiva Lo Haitalo Kavana, Vechatav Azkara Min Hazkarot Shebehen, Shelo Lishman, Psulin, Lefichach Hakotev Et Hashem, Afilu Melech Yisrael Shoel Bishlomo, Lo Yishivenu, Hayakotev Shnaim Shlosha Shemot, Hareze Mafsik Benehen Umeshiv. Writing Stam must be done Lishma, with intent that this writing has the Kedusha of Stam. The Rambam speaks here specifically of the need to write the name of Hashem Lishma each time it appears. Without this Lishma, the Stam is invalid. The Sofer may not interrupt the writing of Hashem Hashem even to respond to a Jewish king, similar to what we saw in Hilchot Tfila Perek Vav about interrupting the Amidah. If he is writing the name of Hashem several times, one after another, he may pause between them to speak. There is a major difficulty here. The Rambam seems to say that a lack of ktiva lishma invalidates stam only while writing a name of Hashem, not in the remainder of the text. But the Gemara makes clear that ktiva lishma in all the words of stam is more fundamental a requirement than ibud lishma. And since the Rambam in Halacha Yud Aleph and Halacha Yud Dalet mandated ibud lishma for Sefer Torah and Tefillin as a necessary condition for those to be valid, how can he forego ktiva lishma in the bulk of the text? And why the distinction between names of Hashem and everything else? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik addresses this difficulty in his Chidushim on this halacha. He explains that ktiva lishma is indeed necessary in the entire text, but for this we can apply the principle from other areas of halacha called stama lishma. Sometimes an act is inherently considered lishma even when explicit intent is lacking, simply because the act can have only one reasonable purpose. When a sofer sits down and begins to write the parsha of Shema with valid dyo on a valid klaf, this is understood to be for the purpose of writing stam, even if he doesn't explicitly think or say that. And therefore, the Rambam doesn't say that a lack of ktiva lishma in general invalidates the stam, like he says regarding ibud lishma, where we do not apply the halacha of stama lishma. But regarding the names of Hashem, there is a separate halacha that each must be written as a name of Hashem and not as if it were some normal word or sequence of letters. This requires specific intent before and during the writing of each name and is independent of the usual requirement of ktiva lishma. Interestingly, even though the lishma required for Shem Hashem seems more stringent than the lishma of the rest of the text, as here the Rambam requires the first even as he applies stam lishma for the second, it may be more lenient in some respects as well. The Tur, who unlike the Rambam, requires an explicit statement of ktiva lishma for the entire text, says that this lishma must be stated verbally by the sofer when he starts writing and not only thought in his mind. For the lishma of each name of Hashem, though, it suffices to think that this is a name of Hashem. And the Rambam seems to say this as well. Rav Chaim explains that Ketiva Lishma in general is a statement of intent or purpose which goes beyond the meaning of the words, so it must be said out loud, unless one applies Stam Lishma as the Rambam does. But Lishma regarding the name of Hashem is just a recognition on the part of the Sofer that the word he is writing really is a divine name, and for this it suffices to have the proper meaning in mind without any verbalization. The remaining halachot of this perek list many details of the writing of Stam, and will mention some of the most important ones without reading the halachot inside. If a sofer forgets a word while writing a Sefer Torah, he may fill it in between the lines of the text. But this cannot be done in tefillin or mezuzah, because the words of those two types of Stam must be written kisidran, in the order they appear in the text, and a missed word cannot be filled in later. Care must be taken while writing Stam to ensure that every letter is mukaf gevil, surrounded on all sides by clean parchment, meaning that no two letters are connected on any side. Each letter must be written clearly enough that it is recognizable as the correct letter by a child of average intelligence. Examples of pairs of letters which are easily confused if not written carefully are vav and yud, bet and chaf, and dalet and resh. If there is a hole in the parchment, the sofer should not write on it unless it is small enough for the ink to cover it completely. If a hole appears in the parchment or in the ink after the text is written, then the text may still be valid if the hole is entirely within a letter, or if it separates parts of a letter in such a way that one part retains the essential form of the letter. If this is not the case, then the text is pasul. The Rambam brings these halachot in succinct form, but they are elaborated upon at very great length by the Shulchan Aruch and later Poskim. The interested listener is referred to Orach Chaim Siman Lamed Bet, the longest siman in Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim, with 52 seifim and extensive commentary related to the details of writing Stam.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.